Down to Business with Bobby Kerr on News Talk.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Now, we've had a long and proud history of furniture making here in Ireland, much of it defined by a balance of heritage and contemporary design, with craftspeople across the country shaping this distinctive identity. I thought for this week's industry review, I'd find out more about this fascinating line of work. And I've got three furniture makers here with me this morning. Dave Pettigrew, he's from Irish Woodcraft up there in County Meath. Tricia Harris is also with us of the Studio Harris down there in the southwest in Killarney. And Paul O'Brien is a furniture designer and maker at Mode. You're very welcome as well, Paul. So we might just go with basic introductions. And Dave, we'd start with you. Irish Woodcraft, tell us what you actually do.
So we make, we basically make furniture to order.
Right.
You know? So like our strapline is, if you can imagine it, we can make it. You know, so, and that's essentially what we do. So all of the products that you would see on our website, they're all custom made. Everything is made to order. So, you know, essentially they're just ideas for people.
Yeah.
You know, the way we see it is, look, why have a 1 meter table when you need a 1.15 meter table? You know, and it's no skin off our nose to make it that size because everything is made to order.
So I was looking at your website and I saw things like maybe a table that goes over a radiator, for instance.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So that might be a bespoke piece of furniture because you know, there's all sorts of different radiator sizes.
Absolutely, yeah. So with that, there's also a form on the website that the customers have to fill in. Now, that form gives us every single measurement that we need. But when it arrives, it fits.
Right.
You know, and fits perfectly.
But do you, although you make everything to order, do you stay within a range of kind of things that you do? In other words, I only do tables, chairs. No. No. You'll do anything out of wood.
Yeah, we'll do anything out of wood. Once we can. Once we can.
Yeah.
So, you know, like we get some weird and wonderful, you know, requests.
But it's still great that you do that. I just think that's wonderful.
From coffins and urns, we steered away from those, you know.
Right.
But other than that, you know, lots of our bespoke work, you know, from, you know, wine cellars to, you know, solid wood glass cabinets and stuff like that. You know, anything that we can do, we will do.
Yeah, okay, that's really interesting and it's also refreshing and the quality of what you're doing is absolutely wonderful. Let's talk to Tricia Harris. She's from Studio Harris in Killarney. You're very welcome to the programme, Tricia. As I understand it, you found your craft up in Letterfrack, a famous place. For furniture making.
Yes, Bobby. Yeah, I studied furniture design and manufacture in Letterfrack for 4 years. Wonderful college, a nice distance from Killarney, but thoroughly enjoyed it. And I suppose there I really, you know, learned the skills in designing and making furniture and gained a real appreciation for finely crafted furniture.
Yeah.
But I suppose after graduating from there, I mean, the ideal for me would have been a design role in a furniture company. In a design office, you know, going as a junior designer, work your way up. But that role doesn't really exist in Ireland. So
We almost lost you to the world of academia.
So I suppose from Letterfrack, I gained the skills in CAD, so AutoCAD drawing, which is a very valuable skill to have, practical skill. So from that, that led me into actually lecturing. I got a job in Griffith College and was there for a number of years. And then I took the leap, or I suppose partial leap, of I kind of continued working part time and then set up my own business, which had kind of always been in the back of my mind to do. But I suppose I grew it quite slowly, build the foundation kind of by working and building a portfolio of products myself and just continuously sketching and designing. And then I took a creative space in the chocolate factory in Dublin City Centre, which is a brilliant creative hub. I'd recommend it to anybody.
Been out there,
anybody starting off to get in with a community like that, because it's just so vibrant and, you know, you're meeting people and connecting and everybody, you know, if they're in different stages of the business, so you're learning a lot from that. So took space there and grew the business, and then I moved back down to Kerry in 2020. And have been working on developing.
And never looked back.
Never look back. Yeah. So I've been developing the brand then, the Studio Harris brand, and connected with local makers, and got a lot of customers.
And I scanned, there. Looked at your website, beautiful milk, a milking stool, and a spindleback bench, just lovely individual pieces that you won't see anywhere else.
Yes.
Really beautiful to see it.
Thanks.
And the time and dedication and everything that goes into that is truly refreshing. What about Paul O'Brien? He's a furniture designer and maker at Mode. How are you, Paul?
How are you doing? Similar-ish, I guess. Our model is more that we have a kind of a core collection of designs that I've designed myself, but are customizable. So, and it's all exclusively solid wood, freestanding furniture, so tables, chairs, consoles, things like that. I founded the business about 8 or 9 years ago. It was a one-man operation initially, and we've kind of grown a good bit now in the last few years. We're a team of five now. We're just opening a showroom now in Kinsale. We're working with the Roisin Lafferty Gallery in Dublin, and we're kind of we're an Irish business, but we very much have an international sort of outlook. And
yeah,
really
you're shipping to 7 or 8 countries, Paul. Yeah,
at least. Yeah, that was last year. So yeah, we're all over the place, really.
Of your work in the Dead Rabbit pub in New York City. I saw some of your pieces up in the Old Head Golf Club, not so far away from you there. Yeah?
Yeah, we've done Tear, 2 Michelin Star restaurant out in the Castle Marta Resort. We've done the Inchidani Hotel and Spa, their sort of new restaurant they refurbished. It's a kind of a mix of kind of commercial and private clients, and it's everything is made to order similarly, so we can easily tweak whatever the client needs tweaking, be it upholstery options, dimensions, timbers, finishes, etc.
Yeah, your business is slightly different to Dave's in that you don't do bespoke furniture, but you've got sort of 10 or 12 core products that you'll work within. In other words, you're in this space of whatever it is, stools, chairs, tables, but there are many variations within what you provide.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's just a model that I've kind of prefer to work, where I think it's from a client's perspective, they have a greater idea of what they're getting at the end. You can show them a picture,
and it allows you then in terms of ordering raw materials and that to maybe have a narrower focus that you don't have to be carrying a whole load of stock that you may not need.
Exactly, and like we can really dial in the designs, make sure they're as good as they can possibly be, you know, that kind of a thing. So it's just a model that's kind of evolved over the years, and the collection has grown. So I mean, we do beds now, we're moving. We have a sideboard coming soon, a lounge chair. So you know, it's,
And did you find it difficult to find, I suppose, a business model that actually worked for you, Paul, or have you had to? Like, have you learned kind of from your mistakes in terms of like we all do, profitable?
That's all experience is. All experience is just a collection of mistakes. So every job we take something from it, and I go, okay, we've learned something there, move on. I think like just doggedness is the best quality you can have in any kind of a business. Just keep going like a shark. Don't stop swimming. It's a tricky, it kind of evolved that way over time, just through how, like I was doing in the early days, you know, you do whatever anybody asks you to do in the early days. And then I just found that the bespoke process could be quite drawn out, and it's very difficult to price things accordingly and stuff like that. So it's kind of, and I'm a designer at heart. I just, you know.
Fair play to you for learning from your mistakes, because sometimes we all don't do that. Let's go back to Dave Pettigrew here in studio Irish Woodcraft in Meath, Dave. You say that you like your piece of furniture to light up the room. I just thought that was a nice way of saying this is a unique, identifiable piece that you won't see anywhere else.
Oh, 100%. And when you look at who we're competing against, right, so this is functional furniture, right? It's built to last a lifetime. But somebody can find something that looks from a distance the same in your big high street stores and this, that, and your.
We won't name them. Who you're talking about.
But when you get up close and personal to that piece, you can see like it's just junk. Like, I mean, our smallest table weighs over 36 kilos, right? So it's a piece of furniture to last a lifetime. But when you see it next to one of these other pieces, you'll know it. You know what I mean? You'll know it.
And how long does it, and I know every product is different, but the likes of, say, the Galway that I was looking at on your website, that's priced at between 625 and, what, 11, nearly 1,200 euros. So that's a lot of, like, that's a big bandwidth. So
it's huge.
Tell me about how, what a 625 euro one compared to a 1,200 euro one would look like. So it's nearly double the price.
It's double the price, but it's double the size. You know what I mean? So those large ones, like, they're 2.4 metres, maybe 3 metres.
Right.
You know? And then again, because everything is bespoke, a lot of customers want it. So we standardise on a size just because we have to have a dimension on the website.
I see.
It doesn't work like that. So yeah. We delivered one to Cork there last week, which was 2.4.
That's Paul's territory.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah. But it was 2.4 and 450 mils wide. It took three of us to deliver that.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, amazing. But in terms of what it takes us to make that, and this is the point I'm making about, you know, giving the customers the option to have the table the size that they want it to be, not just because we're selling 1 meter. Like, you wouldn't go into a shoe shop and you take a size 10 and walk out with a pair of 11s because that's all they had.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm saying to people, look, not that I don't ever want to see it again, but I don't never need to see it again because this will last a lifetime. So get it right. Get it right. If it needs to be 10 mils over, it's 10 mils over. If you want it shorter, it's going to be shorter. You know, but our manufacturing process is exactly the same. It's just three times bigger.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
Trish, what about the working with the consumer in terms of ideas that they may have around furniture and your own, you know, design capability, your own even production capability? Talk to me about that relationship, how you manage that or how you work people through that.
Yeah, I suppose our ethos really is just about good things made well, and it's about considered design and craftsmanship. So, like Dave, we're into making pieces that will last a lifetime, but we also want pieces that are made to be used, not, you know, precious pieces. We want pieces for everyday living and pieces that can, you know, age with character and stand wear and tear. So using good materials. So with our furniture and with our clients, I suppose people are looking for things that are well made and that will last. I think that's really, really important to people. So, yeah, so the design process will change depending on the client and the brief. And it can be a very organic, fluid process. So it could be working to a very specific brief and doing a lot of research, or it could be, you know, based on shape and form or the location or the setting. So no design process is exactly the same.
Yeah.
You know, so it does vary. But we work with both domestic clients, private clients, and we work on commercial projects, small commercial projects as well. So a lot of the time people are looking, I think people are buying more mindfully now. And the whole idea of buying less but buying better.
Yeah, sure.
And I suppose as designers and makers, I mean, I'm very conscious of that we're not creating so much stuff that's already out there, and that we can't really compete with the mass-produced furniture. So it's about more considerate pieces, and people are buying, I suppose, investment pieces.
I was going to ask Paul this maybe, but if you look at fashion trends around furniture, maybe that's the wrong word, fashion, but, you know, nobody really wants or seems to want, you know, the old brown furniture that I got a few pieces off my grandmother, and I was looking at wondering would I move them on, but nobody wants them. And I think that's a shame, Paul, when you think about, you know, the work, the craft, the energy, the time that went into these pieces, that people would prefer something that's you know, just so much more disposable. Is that a fair comment?
There are absolutely trends and fashions in furniture. I mean, things like, I mean, a couple of years ago, we almost everything we made nearly was in kind of a white oiled oak. People wanted that kind of bleached, light Scandinavian look. And I cannot tell you the last time we've done that. It's at the last
couple of
years.
You don't want to do it by the sounds of things.
Well, everybody now, it's either black or dark brown, like a fumed oak and things like that. So there's definitely trends. But I think within that as well, I mean, with our designs, we very much try to make them timeless. Like I'm a big fan of the kind of mid-century kind of furniture, and it's still everywhere, and it's still popular, and it still works in every kind of environment. And I try and design pieces that are like that. So as well as the quality being in how they're built, that they will last stylistically and aesthetically, they should also work. If you change your decor in 10, 20 years, it should still be a beautiful thing, you know? And that's the trick, I guess. But there's definitely fads and fashions, but it is that thing of, I find clients who buy our stuff tend to be less influenced by that. It's like when you go to, when I go to a client's house and they have design classics, they have Charles Eames chairs and Eileen Gray side tables and things like that. It's not, you know, this was in such and such a magazine last month, you know, whatever red furniture is in this week. There's less of that. It depends. Like some people buy for that and some people don't. But it's definitely
all right.
There's definitely an investment aspect to it, like Trish was saying.
Okay, well, look, I want to thank all three of our furniture guests, Dave Pettigrew of Irish Woodcraft in Meath, Tricia Harris of Studio Harris in Killarney, and Paul O'Brien from Modest down there in Kinsale. Thank you all for joining us today.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 8. News Talk. Conversation that counts.